Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
And Gauz.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Date Alive, because there's a brand new game in the franchise released the day this episode goes live. Date Alive, Ren Dystopia.
Oh my god. You can play it and then listen to the podcast or something.
Listen to the podcast and then play it. Come on, they got to listen to the podcast first.
They won't understand anything and listen to the podcast.
They need to hear about all of our sponsors.
Like Funimation? I don't know.
I'll insert the list of sponsors here. We've decided to cover Date Alive using the 3-episode rule, so I won't be as detailed in my synopsis. You've seen the counter for how long this episode is, so you know that that's a good thing. It's a substantial synopsis. But do check out the anime if we've piqued your interest. The 5th season aired just months ago, so you have plenty to catch up on.
Yeah, surprised to see how many seasons of this were released.
And a movie.
And a movie? Oh my god, I need to play the new game. Maybe you too should. And when you buy the game, tell the devs that you came from us, please.
Yeah, leave a comment. I mean, we're already pretty tight with Idea Factory International, but let them know, like, we deserve physical treats as well as digital treats.
Yeah, send us cat food, please.
Body pillows?
Oh, yes, please. Anyway, it was produced by Anime International Company, the studio behind lots of stuff like Tenchi Muyo, Persona 4 the Animation, and Persona 3 the Movie 1 Spring of Birth, which we did an episode about. Date Alive has a My Animalist score of 7.15, and on My Animalist, the scores are per season, so that's not an overall thing. The next 4 seasons might be duds. Don't know. The game that is coming out, Date Alive, Ren Dystopia, is developed by Idea Factory, and it's releasing, was released. It's hard to know words when things happen in the future, but you're not listening to this in the past. Anyway, releases 5th of September 2024. My synopsis is, what will Shido do when he's asked to do something that only he can to prevent massive devastation? Atsura, what do you have?
After the world experienced a spacequake, a brand new natural disaster, everything changed. 30 years later, these spacequakes are following our protagonist, leading him into a test organization that tries to date the causes of these spacequakes to prevent them from occurring again.
Succinct. And goes?
150 million people died in a tragedy. Time to date girls. Let's go. That's all I have.
That's how you do it succinctly, Arthur.
I will leave this podcast permanently.
So, we got a lot of notes. The first episode opens right on a title card for a change. The next 2 episodes have a cold open. Then we cut to 30 years ago, where an energy wave decimates Eurasia, killing 150 million people. It's called a spatial quake, but I know what I saw. The narrator says, and now, and then we get an opening title sequence. We open back on panties. I mean, our protagonist Shido's 14-year-old sister Katori dancing on him to wake him up. She makes a reference to Mobile Suit Gundam in the subtitles and not the dub, which is hilarious. And Shido then makes a Resident Evil reference. And going off of the opening credits, I'm not sure how the rest of these 3 episodes are going to go.
Yeah, that was promising. I thought it was going to be more self-aware.
I have the T virus. Later, they listen to news about a spatial quake. Okay, hang on. Can we agree that the subtitle version of space quake is much better than the dub term spatial quake?
It's much easier to say. Space quake feels comfortable, or spatial quake is like really slow and annoying to deal with.
Right, so I'm going to go with space quake.
I mean, technically all quakes are space quakes because everything is in space. So, like, isn't it a bit redundant?
Yes. Later, they listen to the news about a space quake happening in Tengu City that morning. While cooking breakfast, Shido exposits via narration about how the space quakes happened for 5 years, including one that devastated the Kanto region of Japan, and seemed to stop. The space quakes had started again about 5 years ago, and most of them seem to be happening in Japan.
Convenient.
We wouldn't have an anime happening in Australia.
I was thinking about that recently. Why more anime isn't... Like most of the anime is in Japan, but I guess, like, the worry is that they would have it happen in Poland, but they wouldn't actually know what Poland was like, so, like, you would have dinosaurs or something.
He comments to Katori about how frequent the quakes have been, and she mutters something about how they're happening earlier than planned. However, he ignores the comment and focuses on the fact she's having a lollipop literally as he's serving breakfast. They agree to meet at a diner after school, and as they're saying goodbye, we cut to three schoolgirls talking about Shido's weird sister complex. Katori leaves and Shido's met by Tonomachi, and the three girls comment on how the dude is bisexual.
Gross. Sorry, that's, you know, something that they say a lot.
In the dub, it's, she says, so lame.
I'm going to share a screenshot of my notes now. Arturo, what does that say?
It's so lame.
Yes, and the quote is attributed to you, because I knew you'd say that. But you said gross, which was the Japanese version.
I just thought it was so funny. She just kept saying the same thing, no matter what. It took everything in my power not to make the synopsis just me saying gross.
And so you overwrote.
Look, I initially wrote a synopsis based on, like, the first few things that happened, but then the anime was actually more complex than I thought, and, like, I had to do something else. And I had so lame in the synopsis.
Anyway, at school, Tonomachi introduces Shido to his girlfriend, his phone. 2D is better than 3D. It's a dating game. They are interrupted by Origami Tobiichi, the super genius. She never shows how smart she is in these three episodes. But when Shido doesn't recognize her, she sits on the desk next to him and begins reading. No, she sits at the desk, not on the desk. Which idiot wrote my notes?
That was me, sorry. I still don't know the difference.
I want to point out that her name is really weird. First off, Origami, yes. And also Tobiichi, when pronunciation of bitch in Japanese is beachy.
So she's a paper-falling bitch.
Well, you would have to figure out what the toe stands for. She's a toe bitch?
Anyway. The teacher, Tame, enters and the students begin chattering about her. We never find out why. Then we cut to later when an alarm goes off, as a spacequake has been detected in the area, so the students have to evacuate. Then we cut to a control room where the English dub voice actors start speaking Japanese, though the Japanese voice actors just keep speaking Japanese.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, I thought, wait, what language are they speaking? Oh, it's Japanese? Let me just swap over to the Japanese audio. They are speaking just Japanese. Why would they make this choice? It happens twice in these three episodes where the mysterious government organization, whatever they are, someone speaks in Japanese. Like, I know they're in Japan, but why for... Anyway, apparently the computer detects a host pattern match of princess. And then the scene ends with one of them speaking English. In the dub, not in the sub. Outside, people are getting into shelters and things above ground are descending into the ground to be covered by blast doors. I'm just saying that given the depth of craters that we'd seen, the blast doors would do nothing.
I'll also make your Evangelion references.
I watched that in the 90s. I do not remember a thing about it.
Oh, when an angel attacks the city that they're in, all of the buildings sink underground.
Oh. Thank you.
Also, is it Evangelion or is it Evangelion? I can never remember.
It's both.
Okay.
Shido checks his phone for Katori's location and discovers she's at the diner she wanted to meet at, not in a shelter. So he leaves the shelter to find her. As he's running through the streets, a spacequake happens right in front of him, damaging buildings that are past him, but only barely knocking him to the ground. In the crater where the spacequake hit, he finds a woman in purple, who attacks him. She thinks he's there to kill her, but he says nope, and she believes him. But then strike witches attack her, and she fights them. One of them lands next to Shido, and he recognizes her as Origami from school. Origami and the purple woman fight, and Shido, assume, loses consciousness. He hears some people talk about the target princess escaping, then hears someone with a distorted voice say they're glad to finally meet him again. And then he wakes to someone shining a light in his eyes. It's analytics officer Rain. Rene? One of those. Conducting first aid on him in the sick bay of Fraxinus. Instead of explaining who she is or why he's there or where there is, she takes Shido to the executive officer, Kyuhei. Oh, and Tori is sat in a command chair. Because even though there's an executive officer, it seems Katori is actually in charge. She welcomes Shido to Ratatoskr. The Norse god squirrel messenger.
Yes.
Or well-loved character from Squirrel Girl comics. The unbeatable Squirrel Girl. Those were good comics. Also, Ratatoskr is kind of evil-ish. Anyway, we do a quick cut to Origami getting detached from whatever Strike Witch's equipment lets her fly, and she weakly falls into Captain Kukusabe's arms. I never mention her again in my notes. She does appear, but I also don't talk about Executive Officer Kyuhei either. We then go back to Shido's debriefing. The purple girl is a spirit, and their appearance in the world is what creates the spacequakes. Origami is part of the anti-spirits team, so not Strike Witches, and they are tasked with killing spirits. However, there's another way to deal with spirits, Shido. And his training starts tomorrow. What training and why Shido? Katori doesn't want to tell him yet. We cut to the Purple Princess just laying somewhere. And then the next day at school, the class is introduced to the assistant homeroom teacher. It's Rene from the airship. She's there to keep an eye on Shido and his special training, which later she loads on a computer at Katori's command. It's a dating sim. It's similar to, but not the one that Tonomachi was playing. It's called Fall in Love, My Little Shido. Basically, the rundown is Shido has to date the spirits. In the game and out of the game. Later, Origami catches Shido in the hallway and asks him to forget about seeing her in her functioning Strike Witch's cosplay. She apparently lost her parents because of a spirit, so she hates them. And then the episode ends. Episode 2 ends with the dating sim training. Shido manages to date his sister and is super pumped about it. We get the titles, and it starts with narration, which basically sums up the plot so far. We open back with Origami dreaming about her parents' death and waking up naked. And we cut to school, where Rene puts an earbud in Shido's ear, and he thinks she's going to kiss him.
Overexposure to visual novels will do that to you.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. He played that game a lot.
He's sent out for hands-on training with his teacher. He compliments Tame, and she's dismissive until Rene pulls a Cyrano de Bergerac and tells Shido exactly what to say. And so Tame agrees to marry Shido. Whilst making his escape, Shido runs into panties. I mean, Origami.
Wait, which object does he run into?
Okay, I get it.
Take me a second.
does he run into a paper or a fabric?
He runs into paper's fabric. Rene tells him to say he sniffs Origami's gym clothes, and they wind up agreeing to go on a date.
You forgot to mention that Origami also says she smells his gym clothes, which at least one of them was lying.
Yeah, I love that sequence, because he was told to say creepy things, and she just ended up saying that she does the same thing.
I thought it was great. It made me laugh a lot.
I stalk you. I stalk you too. Well, shouldn't you have noticed me stalking you? Suddenly, the space quake alarm goes off. It's Princess, and she'll apparently appear at the school. Origami heads off to get her Strike Witch cosplay on, and Katori tells Shido to get aboard the Fraxinus. That's the airship. I don't think I made that clear earlier. The spacequake hits and damages the school, but Princess remains inside, which means the anti-spirits team can't fight her. So they send in Shido. Though me writing that means that I had not understood what will soon be revealed, that the anti-spirits team and the Fraxinus seemingly aren't working together.
Yeah, that I missed that at the beginning also.
Same, I didn't really understand what was happening, and then, well, you know.
Well, I do get into it a bit more in my notes. So, but before they send in Shido, Katori introduces her team of specialist love gurus, the guy with 5 divorces, a CEO, someone into voodoo, an expert at dating sims, and someone with a restraining order against them.
I love that one.
So your average visual novel players.
I love that one, yeah. But yeah, this becomes clear that the whole invisible airship is like a weird, like who? What's the word I'm looking for? Who sanctioned that operation to train a boy in dating sims and like hire quote unquote specialists?
Given these 3 episodes, I think Katori's behind it all.
But I mean, someone should have. Like, did she raise the money on her own? Or
yeah. Like, literally, she's behind everything, as far as we can tell. Anyway, Shido enters the classroom where Princess is, and she attacks again. He begins to speak, but Katori tells him no, they have to get the choices from the dating sim first. The specialists vote, and so Shido asks for her name. She attacks again, because that was the wrong choice. He goes off script and convinces her that he really doesn't want to hurt her, so she asks him to give her a name. Elsewhere, Tonomachi's phone goes off as the dating simulator asks him to name a character. This is how they've been crowdsourcing their information. The 3 girls from the first episode assume that he's sexting Shido.
Gross.
So lame.
The name Shido decides on is Toka. You know, like one of the new mutants from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. Wait, no, that was spelled differently. Never mind. Anyway, Toka is shot at by the Strike Witches, so Shido tells her to sit down so they can have a natter. As they talk, the Strike Witches rain fire down upon Toka's force field. She explains that she doesn't know what she is or where she comes from, but she does know that she is not human.
I like that part. He was like, obviously you have a force shield that doesn't like let any projectiles go through to you, so like we can just sit and chat, because they won't come in here. It was perfect writing. 10 out of 10.
Katori tells Shido to ask Toka out, and so he does. But then Origami sees that Toka is chatting to Shido, so she flies in with her sword. And then my next note is, why were the Strike Witches not told that Shido was down there? they work for the same thing, don't they? And as the second and third episode continue, we don't seem to get an answer to that.
Yeah, I assume that they are like a completely different government-sanctioned organization. Like, two big, like, 150 million people died in a tragedy. We sanctioned two projects. Flying girls who can kill people, and a we train a boy in dating sins to seduce our enemy. That's the two projects that the Japanese government sanctioned.
And we also have to develop this mobile dating sim.
Well, that's part of the training, I assume. Some idiot in the Japanese government. Oh, those dating sims are amazing. I bet that would work. God damn it.
Toka does a move and makes her escape, leaving an injured Origami, and we don't know what happened to Shido until the next day, where we find him standing in the wreckage of the school for some reason, when Toka appears out of nowhere. The spacequake alarm didn't go off, she claims, because he invited her on a date. So she's there for a date.
No, the alarm didn't go off because there wasn't an explosion or whatever. She just appeared because he thought of her or something. That's what I assumed.
Yeah, it doesn't get explained yet, but there's two ways they can appear, just spontaneously or because they're invited on dates.
Beetlejuice.
princess. He suggests she changes her outfit and she changes it into a school uniform. And then the episode ends with some post-credits with lots of army trucks driving past the pair as they walk down the street for their date. The third episode opens with Toka pressed up against glass. She wants to know what's in a bakery. And then we get titles with different narration. So it seems that every episode, what happened before and what's going to happen in this episode.
So when it opens and her face is pressed against the window in the Japanese dub, it's like, what is it, what is it, what is it? Or something like that. And in the English dub, it's, is that a date?
Yeah.
Is that a date inside there? I mean, it makes sense after you watch the episode, because that's the whole...
No, it doesn't.
No, the theme is that she doesn't know what the date is, and she asks, is that a date? Is this a date? Etc. But it's like, it's jarring in English dub when that's what you open on.
I agree. We open back on Shido presenting bread to Toka, which she eats, then shoves a sausage in her mouth, and asks if she should kill a crowd of sins. The trio of girls from before spot Shido and Toka and wonder if Shido is cheating on Tonomachi.
Gross.
So lame.
Also observing is Origami, who knows that Toka is a spirit somehow, and radios for a surveillance unit.
Well, there's no purple-haired girl anywhere else in the anime yet.
While Toka continues to eat more and more food, Shido asks what happened when she disappears. What happened when she disappeared? She says that she disappeared. She then goes...
No, we asked what happened after. After we got the time skip, because he's also watching this anime, so he doesn't know what happened after that.
She goes into more detail, saying that she's transported through dark space into another dimension where she goes to sleep. Usually she's woken up and brought to the real world by force, which Shido posits causes the spacequakes, but when he asks why today was different, she pouts and walks off. We cut to Origami, who is observing via a drone controlled by her commander, and they clearly still haven't been read in about Shido's involvement, as they want to take Toka out. Well, Shido has already taken Toka out. For a date, get it?
Yeah, I got it.
I'm going to put in the studio applauding and the studio audience applauding and cheering for that joke.
No, I want rom-com laugh track.
Elsewhere, Toka is stopped from entering an expensive restaurant by Shido's delight by Tonomachi, but she enters anyway. Tonomachi admits that his girlfriend also has expensive tastes and shows a page of microtransactions. Oh god, that's how they're funding this whole thing.
I didn't know that I was dating EA when I was buying their microtransactions. They definitely don't put out.
That moment you realize you've been in a long-distance relationship with League of Legends for 12 years.
He does, however, hand over two coupons for free meals at the very restaurant Toka's gone in, saying a stranger gave them to him. We soon discover that the stranger was probably from the airship, as Rene and Kotari are working undercover at the restaurant. While Toka is distracted by a huge amount of food, Kotari tells Shido to go somewhere specific afterwards. Shido says it's a residential district, but by the time they get there, it's been turned into the Ratotsuke shopping arcade. And they are the 100,000th couple, so all the food is free.
Well, thank God. Because Shido would have went bankrupt or something, yeah?
Yeah. And it's now that we understand through context that the anti-spirit team does not work with the airship team. Because the Ratotsuke airship starts jamming the drone, and Origami is told to get to a rendezvous point. Toka finally realizes that something is up with Shido, but he convinces her he's having fun, and she holds his hand.
Aww.
They then win tickets to Dream Park and are encouraged to visit right away. By encouraged, I mean pushed there. Dream Park isn't a theme park as you'd expect, but I suppose there are rides and people have fun.
I will not accept this.
It's a love hotel.
Gross.
So lame.
Toka really wants to go inside and learn what a real date is, but Shido drags her off under the hidden gaze of Origami, who didn't go to the rendezvous so she could keep an eye on them. She asks for an emergency arming device, and as it turns out, the delivery spot is in the mouth of a water feature right outside Dream Park.
No, I think she put it there because she said, I needed a dislocation in these coordinates. So she was just being spiteful. That beachy.
Perfect.
Thank you.
As the team aboard the airship wonder why it's begun to rain, Shido and Toka take shelter in a game arcade. While trying to grab some plushy bread, I assume, in a UFO catcher, Toka's dub keeps calling a chicken, and I was utterly confused.
I mean, okay, before we end up moving past this, I can't be the only one that thought Toka was going to try to eat it, right?
She did.
She did? I missed it then. Oh, no.
In the next scene, you see there's teeth marks in it. Oh,
no. Wait, the teeth marks weren't... Oh, yeah, they're not on it originally. You're right. Shit, yeah. I missed that. And there's like a bit of stuffing sticking out, and I was
exactly.
Like...
Exactly. When I saw that, I was like, oh, my gosh, she tried to eat it.
I was trying to figure out what it was. like is that a popular toy in Japan? Like a weird bean bag with like stuffing sticking out of it? I don't even know. But no, it makes much more sense now that you pointed out that there are bite marks on it.
Yeah, multiple bite marks. Like she's had that thing in her mouth. Later, with the bite marks, they talk about their date day, and Shido finally explains what a date is, despite her asking 4,000 times. Not very far away, Origami is patiently waiting for permission to fire a sniper rifle at Toka's head, and then permission is granted just as Toka realizes how good the world is and why the anti-spirit team wants to kill her. Shido tells her that she should stay in the world and not go back to the other dimension, and as she goes to take his hand, he shoves her out of the way, and Origami misses Toka, hitting Shido. So Toka summons her armor and sword, powers it up, and attacks Origami, who doesn't fight back, though she's shielded somehow. Shido suddenly wakes up, healed, while the airship crew watch, and Kotari repeats what I assumed was a joke earlier. Shido can start a new game if he dies.
Set up, pay off.
Yep. That's why I didn't write the joke down. I didn't write it down when she said it, because I assumed, she's making a joke. It'd be a plot device.
Chekhov's game over. I don't even know.
Chekhov's main screen. Chekhov's you died.
Chekhov's one up. Chekhov's game mechanic.
As Toka is about to do a finishing blow, Shido comes screaming, falling out of the sky. Let's not explain how he gets up there. Toka catches him, and Shido is told the only way to ensure her powered-up weapon doesn't kill everyone is to kiss her. He starts explaining what a kiss is, and Toka kisses him, depowering the weapon and getting rid of her clothes, as well as lowering them safely to the ground. And then we get the credits. And then a post-credit scene of Toka starting school in Shido and Origami's class. So, as we've done before with a game that isn't quite out yet, was it a good adaptation, has it made you want to check out the game?
Honestly, yeah. I'm kind of interested to see like what happens. So it sounds more like a kinetic visual novel, which, although I've played a few, I haven't really had that much of an experience with. So I'm excited to see what the difference is between actually having like too many choices and rather just following through a given storyline.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see where the story goes.
Well, Data Live Ren Dystopia is a sequel to Data Live Rio Reincarnation, which came out on Steam 4 years ago. I actually own that. I don't know when I bought it, but I know that I bought it, and it wasn't through a bundle because I have the deluxe edition as well. So it must have been a really good price. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to play that at some point.
Sickness. I understand you.
I'll probably also buy Data Live Ren Dystopia at some point because I'm an idea factory fiend. Apparently it does have an in-game library to help catch you up with character profiles and summaries and stuff, though honestly I wouldn't think this should be your first Data Live visual novel, because Data Live Rio Reincarnation has two or three different games inside it.
Well, there's 5 seasons of the anime, so...
Yeah, well, you don't know how it changes from the games, if it changes from the games.
Yeah, I definitely put the original in my wish list. I don't know about the upcoming one, simply because, again, it's a sequel, but definitely looking forward to the one that already exists.
So based on the first 3 episodes, is it Yata, Nani, or Baka, Arturo?
I think probably it's a Yata, for sure. It was funny. It had a lot of like quotable moments, and I really liked the animation. I thought I wasn't going to like it after the first episode because the younger sister was just being so annoying. And I was like, you incessant little brat. But no, it gets much better. And the annoying characters are more like given to you by small doses.
And goes?
Yeah, I thought it was a Yata. I didn't expect it to be as clever as it was. I would prefer if it was more self-aware, and there's like, it bugs me tonally a bit. Like, I don't like the whole pushing someone to date someone, but they also have like their own chemistry. It feels weird to me. I'm not a fan of that, but overall, yeah, I liked it. It was a lot of clever moments, a lot of cute moments. I think there wasn't anything writing wise like again like with the shield stuff that felt like perfectly thought out. Yeah,
sorry, I thought you had more to say.
No, I would, but I should have made notes about every moment that was notable to me. I guess another clever moment that could have been like too cringe for me was the kissing part. Like, no, I can't. We can't kiss. I can't do it. But she's like, "What's a kiss?" So he starts explaining it, and she, because she just wants to try anything to stop this, she just does it. She kisses him.
I thought that was great. Yeah. Oh no, I shouldn't push you to kiss you, or shut up, just tell me what it is, I'll do it. Anyway, for me it was a Yata, though what's with the little sister's oral fixation? She literally always has a lollipop in her mouth. Is it because she's a lolly?
I think so. I got the feeling, like, it's definitely not accidental, especially that she's 14. It's like, wow.
Also, it's like, I'm 14, but, like, I... Like, she has competency of an adult. So, yeah.
So, will you keep watching?
Yes, but in the future. See, I can't just keep saying, yes, I'm going to keep watching things, and then just stockpiling them in the background and being like, I'll eventually get to it. So, no. Yes, but in the future, because I have a lot of things I'm trying to watch at the moment. So, although I really liked it, I wouldn't say it gets, like, a priority for me.
I might. But with someone, I think. With someone else who wants to watch it. Because, again, like, tonally, it doesn't work perfectly for me. I'd have to, like, have someone with me who is more enthusiastic about it, I guess.
I do want to keep watching it. I started to tear up at the end of the first episode. If it was a video game, it'd have to be in running for Game of the Year, because it made me cry. Almost. Okay, that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you for joining me, Artura and Gauze.
Thank you so much for... Oh, gross.
So lame, so lame. Hey, so lame.
Thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge, and better yet, thank you for subscribing, find wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrim.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Grimcast podcast. Until next time, game on.